Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we continue to discuss certain things from Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets. We've considered things from Hosea. We're now considering things that the Lord has spoken through the prophet Malachi. Now, these things were spoken primarily to the people of northern Israel. And, of course, they also apply to southern Judah. And they're very applicable in principle to our own time and our own nation and our own day. Friend, we need to give heed to the complaints that God has against people when they do not follow the way that the Lord has specified that they are to go. Now, we've looked at some of the complaints that the Lord had against Israel when he said, I loved you. But they say, how have you loved us? They were ungrateful for the many blessings that God has bestowed upon them. God said, ye despised me. And the way that they despised him was being disobedient to his word. Friend, that's true of me and you today. When we do not obey the word of God, we're simply saying, Lord, your word really is not important. We will just deliberately ignore it. And then God also accused them of being guilty of pollution. They were offering sacrifices unto God. They were attempting to worship God their own way, the way that pleased them, the way that they decided, rather than the way that God had specified in the law to which they were accountable. But he continues in the book of Malachi, in chapter 2 and verse 17. Israel also exhibited a base form of depravity. What they did, they called evil good and good evil. And this is like the prophet Isaiah once wrote, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And is that not what many are doing today? Does not this demonstrate a grave disrespect for God's standard of judgment, God's standard of good and evil? Does this not overturn God's judgments and show the disrespect people have for the judgments of God? Oh, there be some who cry long and loud how it's wrong to judge. But you know they're guilty of judging. They are judging God because they are declaring good what God has said is evil. And they are declaring evil what God has called good. And they really do not mind judging. They're judging people all the time. When someone will ever say to you, you're judging, you just ask them, well, what do you think you're doing by saying that I'm judging? You see, so many do the very things that they condemn in others. Now, these people really dislike being told the judgments of God, what they are. People don't like to be shown how wrong they are and how they contradict the will of God. But friend, it is never wrong, it is never sinful judgments to commend what God commends. And it's not sinful judgment to condemn what God condemns. Israel questioned whether God would even judge them at all. Wherein is God's judgments, they said. And are they not like a lot of people of our own time? They act like they're not accountable. They're not responsible. They're not going to be answerable to God for what they do and say and think. They can act any way that they see fit. God's not going to mind, even if God does exist. And he's not going to do anything about it. That's the attitude that a lot of people mistakenly have about the judgments and the precepts of God. But another charge that God made against these people is found in Malachi 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now here the Lord strikes out against their apostasy. He's pleading with them to return to him. They had left him. Now I know that some say once you come to God, you can't ever leave, but that's false. God was pleading with those who had left him to return to him. Their response was, why, they didn't know where and how that they should ever return. They again acted as if they had nothing to leave and there was no reason for saying that they have to return to God. To them, they'd been doing everything just right already. And they had, according to their thinking, but not according to the will of God. They were even denying that they'd ever left God. And this is so often the case with people who forsake the Lord today. They like to pretend, I never did leave the Lord. But those who leave the Lord, who leave his church, who leave worshiping like he says, who leave living like he commends, oh, friend, they need to return to God. And then in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, God said, will a man rob God? He said, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Notice, friend, their question expressed their pretended innocence. In answer to God's question, we all know that man will rob God. God told Israel how they had robbed him. They did it by not giving an offering as they should. They did it by withholding their contributions that should have been given, and they were guilty of robbing God. I heard a story many years ago from an older preacher, how he went to a place to preach in a gospel meeting, and the brethren approached him what they considered to be a real problem. It seems that one of the brethren was taking money out of the contribution plate as he would pass the plate among the congregation. And they consider this as stealing from God. Well, the preacher told them that they should not be too concerned. Brethren, he said, a stealing from God all over the brotherhood. Well, when they heard that, they were not as disturbed about it. It looks like other people are doing that sort of same thing. But they inquired, how are the brethren stealing all over the brotherhood? And the preacher told them how that their man was stealing from God what others had given. But there were still many who were stealing from God by never giving what they should have been giving from the start. Friend, in either case, there was the taking from God what should have been given into his treasury. Will people rob God? Yes, people will do it, have done it, and probably will continue to do it. And they rob him not only of money, but of time and of thought and of prayer and of respect and of obedience and many other ways that people rob God. From Malachi chapter 3, a text that we quoted at the start of our lessons, it seems to describe the climax of Israel's rebellion against God. They considered it to be without profit to serve God. To them, it was vanity. They obviously wanted what some would like to call the good life. They were proud and they were happy in their pride. The wicked workers were all set up, and those who would tempt God were delivered, they say. It really was not such a bad thing, some thought, to not go God's way, and they wanted to go their own way and do their own thing. Oh, how many people in our great and wonderful land are of that attitude and disposition even today? Is it not the same thing being asserted in America today? We hear people talking about how they go through life but once, and you need to get the most gusto that you can. And what they mean by that is they think they have a right to sort of live it up and live their own way, whatever they see fit. Those who deny God think that they're free to eat, drink, and be merry, and there won't be any consequences. To them, it's usually to restrict themselves. They refuse to consider what the end result of their kind of life is going to bring them. God declared that Israel's words were stout against him. He proved it. Their feigned innocence did not change the fact that their rebelliousness was guilty. Trying to rationalize and explain away their transgressions, did that remove their transgressions? Not a single one. And God was not deceived by their words. The result was that Israel was the recipient of God's sharp and certain denunciation of both them and their sins. In Malachi 4 and verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an offering oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Yet in spite of all of the sins of the people of Israel, God offered them forgiveness. He provided a way for their forgiveness. And he showed that through them, a way of forgiveness of all mankind was to be offered. Yes, God loved them, but he did not approve of them. But he told through the prophet Malachi of the coming salvation that would be through Christ. In the last verses of the book of Malachi, we have the prophecy concerning John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Jesus. He was going to be the one that would come and prepare the way for the kingdom to be established. He was going to announce the coming of the Savior and to identify the Savior, which was Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. And he was the forerunner of how that Savior would shed his blood, and he would save those who are obedient. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we learn that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Now I want to focus as I close the lesson today on this word despise that is used here in the book of Malachi. It means to render as unimportant, and that it is something that's optional and can be dismissed. It's a shame that some people seem to think that they can treat God's plan of salvation that way. They think it can be saved by a personal prayer, or they can be saved by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Friend, all of these ideas that men have, they will not save. We're saved by obeying the gospel that God has given, believing in Christ as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, and confessing our faith in Christ, and being obedient to his command to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. That's the way we show we do not despise the word of God, but we respect him and we honor him by being obedient to him. Is this what you do? Is this what you have done? If not, will you not do that and know salvation through Christ? This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.